Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as Pam Amy just shared with us, the great Good Shepherd, the real Good Shepherd. The story of the Good Shepherd is very familiar. It's one of those Sunday school stories. It's one of those stories that we tell our children. It's one of those great Bible stories that we need to know. But do you really know the story? Sometimes people want to moralize it and make it to say something that it really doesn't say. Let's take a look at it tonight and see once what God's Word would have us to say. You know, we call people good Samaritans who help out changing flat tires on the roads or people who help out different things. And not a bad thing to be talking about, not a bad way of referring to those people who help out others. And I don't know if any of you are campers, but there's the Good Sam Club of the campers, and they have that sticker on their trailer, and you know that they will be helpful as far as those who help out. Isn't it interesting how the Good Samaritan has changed since the time of Jesus? At the time of Jesus, good and Samaritan never would have gone together. At the time of Jesus, the Samaritans were thought maybe like we would think of the ISIS terrorists. We would think of those who want the very worst for us. We've gotten so comfortable with the Good Samaritan, do we miss out on the message that Jesus teaches as he teaches this story? Pastor Tate read for us the gospel reading. We read it responsively and so on, but it begins as this lawyer, this expert in the law, comes to test Jesus. I think he wanted to debate with Jesus. I think he came and he wanted to have a one-upmanship on Jesus to show Jesus how much he knew and how little that Jesus knew. But Jesus never came to debate anyone. That's kind of a good reminder for us, too. We aren't here to debate anyone either. Jesus came to teach people the truth of his word. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came so that others might receive the free gift of salvation. And so even though this teacher of the law, this expert in the law, the Bible calls him a lawyer sometimes, wants to come and wants to try and test Jesus, Jesus wants to help and to teach him so that he too might receive forgiveness of sins. Well, this lawyer came to ask Jesus, and he asks Jesus two wrong questions. Jesus answers two questions, but he answers two right questions with two right answers. I pray that God the Holy Spirit would give me the words to share with you and your ears and hearts to receive the two right answers that Jesus would have us to know. The first wrong question that this lawyer asked of Jesus is, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that was not only a wrong question, but it was a very unnecessary question. Very unnecessary because all the little Jewish boys, in the morning and the evening, twice a day, would say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." The Shema. Every little Jewish boy knew that. Isn't it ridiculous that this lawyer, this expert in the law, would come and ask Jesus an obvious question? What must you do? And he knew. You know what Jesus did was he asked back to the expert, "What does the scripture say?" By the way, that's another good rule of thumb. When somebody comes and wants to debate with you, somebody comes and wants to start some kind of an argument with you, don't debate, don't argue, but ask, "What do the scriptures say?" So that's always where the answer is. Jesus says, "What do the scriptures teach?" The lawyer said it. Of course, that was the easy thing that was there. He had the head knowledge. He knew the answers in his head. But what Jesus wanted to help and show him is he didn't have it in his life. So, lesson number one, wrong question number one. Uh-oh, the lawyer isn't going to get too much of a debate out of Jesus in this way, and so the lawyer asks the second wrong question. The second question is, the lawyer tries to justify himself, and he says, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus wants to teach. Jesus wants to bring him along and help him to see how these questions are wrong, but the true questions. So Jesus sets up the story. He sets up the story with what we're very familiar with. A man was moving, was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. As he fell among robbers, what happened? They stripped him, they beat him, they left him as half dead. And then Jesus says, there was this rabbi who comes, and he looks at this man, and he passes by on the other side. What a shock. Wouldn't you think that a religious leader, a religious person, a pastor, if you would stop and help? Jesus continues the story, as you know. Here comes a lay person. The first one was the pastor. The second one was a member of the congregation, a Levite, a person who was a lay minister, a lay assistant who was there. What happens? The Levite, as you know, sees and walks by and passes by on the other side. Now, Jesus so far has been telling this story to show the hypocrisy of what this lawyer is saying. The priest and the Levite, they said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself." They said those words, but they didn't live those words. They didn't show those words. Jesus wanted this expert in the law to understand it's not just head knowledge, but it's your living and it's your life of what you're doing. Now, to be fair, the priest and the Levite, they would have been ceremonially unclean if they would have helped this man. And it could be that they had a church service to get to. It could be they had a Bible class they needed to go and teach. It could be that their wife was sitting at home waiting supper for them and they had to go. It could have been, well, being a little more serious about it, they could have worried about, where are those robbers at? If I stop and help this other person out, maybe I'll get mugged as well, and I will. There's lots of excuses, aren't there? There's plenty of excuses. Anytime that we see someone who is in need, or anytime we see a neighbor who needs our help, oh, there's lots of excuses, and I've said all of them probably too. So many excuses that we can give. But then Jesus drops the hammer. Jesus says the outrageous thing. Jesus says something that is absolutely scandalous. But we know the story too well. We don't catch on that when Jesus says, "But a Samaritan came along the way." A Samaritan? It would be like we would say a member of the ISIS would come along the way and would help out one of us. Unbelievable. But this Samaritan came, and he looked and had compassion. He stopped. He took his time. He bound up the wounds. I know it went kind of fast up there. I hope you saw all the pictures. But bound up his wounds and then put him on his donkey and took him to this place to be helped out. Stayed overnight with him, and then gave him 2 days' wages, 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, quite a bit of money, and then said, "I'll give you more as you need it." The Jews were so angry and upset and would not even talk about the Samaritans. For Jesus to say it's a Samaritan who showed who his neighbor truly was, really showed up, this expert of the law. Really embarrassed and should have embarrassed this expert in the law, really should have helped this expert in the law to realize how very wrong his thinking was. That's why Jesus chose the Samaritan to do that. How interesting it is that as the story goes on and Jesus finishes up and tells this, then he puts it back onto the expert in the law and he says, "Now, between these three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, which one of these was neighbor to this man?" Because that was the question, right? Who is my neighbor? And did you hear how the Jewish religious leader said? He couldn't even say the word Samaritan. He says, the one who showed mercy. It shows how much the Samaritans were hated and despised and looked down upon. It was 2 weekends ago, but it was just in Luke chapter 9. This is Luke chapter 10. It was just in Luke chapter 9. I don't know if we call or not, but Jesus was heading down to Jerusalem, and he sent his disciples ahead to get him prepared. And remember how the disciples went into the Samaritan village, and the Samaritan said, nope, he's heading to Jerusalem. I don't want him. You remember what James and John said, those sons of thunder? You remember what he said? Lord, should we call down fire from heaven and burn them up? They thought that that was an honest question. They thought that that was something that was okay to do. That just shows you how much they hated the Samaritans. And Jesus, of course, said, no, we're going on to another place. So this Samaritan, this good Samaritan who comes and he helps out this Jewish man who's his enemy, he stops and he interrupts what he's doing. He has no excuses, or he does not use any of those excuses as he helps out this Jewish man. Well, a lot of times the story will end by saying, you go be the good Samaritan. Wrong message. That's not the message that Jesus wanted to give to us. Jesus wanted to give to us that who's the good Samaritan? Jesus is. Jesus is the one who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Jesus is the one who came to rescue his enemies. Jesus is the one who, out of his graciousness and his love, came and rescued those who were broken and dead in their trespasses and sin and so on. Jesus is the one who is the good Samaritan. Jesus is the one who comes and answers the right questions. The right questions are not, what must I do to be saved? But the right question is, what has Jesus done for me? That's always the right question. To start off with, what has Jesus already done? And then the second question is not, who is my neighbor? But the question is, how can I be a neighbor to others? How can I be a neighbor? When we know what Jesus Christ has done for us and all the blessings that he gives to us, and he's taken care of all of our needs, and he's done that when we were his enemies and when we were sinful and so on, it changes us. And it changes us to now want and to go and to be a neighbor, to be a neighbor to others. And so Jesus says, go and do likewise. He says it to the Jewish leader. He says it to him to help him to know he still wanted that man to know Jesus Christ. Story of the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us Jesus is that Good Samaritan who has come for you and for me and changes us and changes our hearts, changes our eyes so that we see the needs of neighbors and we go and seek by God's help to fulfill those. May God grant to you his continued grace and love and the willingness to help out as we see our neighbors in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding always keep our hearts and our minds on Jesus the Good Shepherd until life everlasting. Amen.